Ibra di testa, Tonali, gol! Sandro! Meritato! Sandro!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, back after a week's absence. No excuses, obviously, for missing out on it, boys, but it was my girlfriend's graduation, so I guess it's a better reason than most weeks. AJ? Yeah, kind of.
I'm here, we're all back, obviously late, but we've been celebrating Scudetto and life, and here we are. We have...
celebrate it yet. We haven't won.
Shut up. Celebrate life.
We got Madison in the corner that I still can't point to for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. There.
Happy to be here. I met AJ this weekend in person, and he is shorter than I am.
Wow.
This fucking guy. He's just...
We've gone there, really.
Yeah.
I just had to start off with that just to clear the air in case anyone was wondering. Yeah.
He's going to disagree with every single opinion that you put out there on this podcast now. And he's going to do it aggressively.
Well, Stefano sucks, so I'd like to see him disagree with that.
You got me there.
Happy to be back, second week on the trot. And I can confirm my height is smaller than Ollie's, so I feel free, AJ.
That doesn't take much, though.
Yeah. We have the gentle giraffe in the top right.
Yeah, I've got to have something. I mean, I ain't got the same thing going on, so centre-back build. We're recording this a couple of days later than we normally do. A lot of various things going on. As I said, those two boys met up for a trip. I went to go watch Huddersfield in the playoff semi-final second leg. Could be a really good couple of weeks from a football point of view because we made it to the Wembley final. So hopefully watching two cups get lifted in the next couple of weeks. We will see. We've got a game to recap, a game to preview, and it might be the biggest game that we've ever previewed. Potentially, in the few years that we've been doing these podcasts on and off. Smiles on our faces. We just got to get into it. I kind of want to fast forward to the next game now. I wish it was tomorrow night, but it's not. Atalanta on Sunday afternoon, evening at San Siro. I wasn't here for the preview of this one, but obviously, as I think everyone was, we were confident, but also with the apprehension that if there was a team that things were going to go wrong against, it could well be Gasperini and it could well be Atalanta. They've not been the same this season. They're down in goals scored, their defence is still quite shaky. They've been pretty poor at home, to be honest. I think they've only won four games at home all season, but they've been better away from home. I guess first half was quite shaky. We looked nervy. We looked a bit on edge. I think it took us a bit of time to settle into the game, and then the second half went much more swimmingly, I suppose, and the changes made the difference. It was a special atmosphere. Over 75,000 fans at San Siro. The players, most of them will not be used to situations like that, knowing that with a win, you'll move 1 point away from the Scudetto maximum. Obviously, we didn't know what the Inter were going to beat Cagliari then. And I think, therefore, you can probably forgive some of those first half nerves.
No,
you think we were just shit.
I think we looked the way we looked the past 3 months.
Yeah, I didn't think we looked any different, to be honest with you. I don't think it was nerves. I think that's just kind of our play style now. I don't know how to explain it, but I don't think it's a bad thing either, because I don't think we look bad. It's just we're struggling to get that early goal, and that's okay. I think we just have a misconception of it because earlier in the season we had 10 games in a row where we scored in the opening 5 minutes, something ridiculous. And now most of our goals are coming after the 80th minute. I think I saw a graph, 12 of our goals this season have been after the 80th minute. So we're just kind of leaving it late, which is always nervy and scary for fans, but it just shows that we're not really giving up. We're fighting to the last whistle, and we're making the most of the chances we get. I mean, look at the Fiorentina Leao goal. That was pretty lucky, as was Tonali's against Lazio. We are getting by from, I don't know what the expression, the hair on our chest, this right here.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. We're scraping it by, but we're winning, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think that graph, either you or Bader pulled it up during the game, and it was 50 to 60, 60 to 70, 70 to 80. Each in those 10-minute increments was 7 goals each. Then 80 to 90 was 12. So, the majority of our goals are coming from 50 minutes passed. Yeah. So it's like in the first half, we're just trying to figure out how to break down the defense. And then
I think a large contributor to that as well is the first hour is when Giroud plays. So there's not much of a goal scoring threat up top. And then you sub on Rebic.
Man,
a lot
when
more
Rebic
active.
Came on, I was so happy. I've never been happy.
He changed
to
the game.
Rebic.
Changed it.
Hopefully he starts this weekend, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think I look at the other way. I look at probably efficiency and obviously how well we are doing defensively with the amount of clean sheets we've got in recent games. Are we being a bit more cautious in that sort of first half to not put ourselves in a position where we're trailing? I think I sort of look towards that. You know, I can't in that first half, I can't really think of too many chances where Atalanta had those moments where they're, you know, one-on-one with the keeper or, you know, putting us in dangerous positions where Mignan's having to perform a worldy save to keep us in the game. I think we're sort of drawing that line of trying to probe some attacks, but also trying to keep it quite got a tight ship at the back, really. But yeah, I mean, the first half was nothing much to scream about. We'll speak about in the second half. But yeah, I have to agree about what you're saying about the last sort of the 60 to the 90th minute goals. Doesn't matter how you win a game of football, you can score in the second half, and we obviously got the legs and the squad depth to hit teams for it. So, yeah.
I think Mignan had one big save in the first half against Muriel.
Yeah, when he
it
did
was
that
a good dive,
shot.
And he caught it. You know,
he caught the shot, and yeah, like
yeah,
it's good anticipation to know to be on that side.
It's great. I was watching. Obviously, I was watching in Toronto with Naeem. I think, I've got that pronounced right. Another Twitter follower. There wasn't an element of panic that we had when watching. You know, I was talking to him and we're watching through his laptop. There wasn't an element of panic about the game. And I felt very calm despite the pressure of the game and despite not really getting those attacks in the first half. I just felt like it was going to happen anyway. And I think that's the thing about this Milan side and the thing about many good sides right now. It doesn't matter if you're not having the perfect first half. I believe there's a confidence that we have as fans that it's going to go right just because of the quality and just because of the heart of the team. But we'll come on to the second half as well.
You know, Toronto has a Milan club that you got to watch that instead of someone's laptop.
That's very true, but it's like an hour trip away and I have an injured ligament, which doesn't allow me to move far. So, yeah. Yeah.
Sending prayers to you for your recovery there, mate. I expect you back in time for the start of next season. One thing that surprised me a bit in the first half, when we talked, I think it was a couple of weeks back, about what to expect from these last two games of the season, I said, well, Atalanta and Sassuolo, they don't have a defensive setting. So, it might be a bonus for us that we're coming up against two teams that are going to leave space. In the first half, Atalanta probably did exactly the opposite to what everyone was expecting. They sat in quite compact. They tried to frustrate. Tactical analysis is on our website as always, but if you look at that, there's actually a couple of frames where you can see all 11 players, well, 10 plus the keeper, behind the ball. And then they tried to use Muriel as an outlet in transition. They didn't get an awful lot of joy with that. I guess sometimes you just have to play out those frustrating periods within games. You're getting a lack of movement from the forward options. You know, Krunic, overall, I think we can say, had a positive influence on the game, especially with the second goal, which we'll come on to. But he isn't always the most fluid and he doesn't provide the spark that some other number 10s might be able to. Giroud, very static again, playing for those quick 1-2s and dummies and flick-ons. Great when it works, but when it doesn't, you've lost the ball and then you're in danger again. When the teams were going off at half time, I won't say that I felt nervous that we were heading for a draw or a defeat. But I think it was pretty damn obvious that changes were needed. And the two that were made, I think probably the two that made the biggest impact were bringing on Rebic and Mesias, no doubt about it. And then
most of the substitutions were good, except for bringing Bakayoko on. I'm sure it was just to give him a sending off. But I think Zlatan deserved a home send off far more than Bakayoko did. You know, if this is Zlatan's last season, which I kind of hope it is, I just don't think that's
what's necessary. It depends on what kind of role he'll play next season. Like, if we're not going to sign a striker because he's still on, then, like, get the fuck out of the club.
Yeah, that's an issue.
If he's going to play a mentor role to a new striker, I'm all about it.
As long as he cuts the wages down, then yes, he could do that.
Isn't he on a like?
He's on like an appearance based wage.
Yeah, right, quite a low fixed amount, and then quite a lot of bonuses based on how many appearances and goals he gets. Okay. I mean, he's got eight goals this season in Serie A. Of course,
he was our top goal scorer up until March. So
yeah, and which, another thing,
however you look at it, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, right, whether that's scary. A positive or a negative, yeah.
No, I don't think it is. Well, another way to look at it, he was named in the squad, but we all know his knee's fucked. Maybe he just couldn't play. Like maybe, you know, he's got a knee overload, which essentially means that it swells up all the time.
Let's ask our expert.
Yes, Stefano, how is it to walk?
I don't think you want to ask me about Ibrahimovic. I'm going to plead the fifth and not comment. As a knee suffering person, it's quite hard, and especially someone who's old. I can relate to Ibra.
like a decade younger, but
I'm the oldest one here. Well, isn't it? Maddie is, but no comment. I think with Ibra, that did sort of pass my mind. Why wasn't he sort of given that moment as a send off? Does that mean something else? But it's really hard to say. I was thinking about this, about if Milan go on to win the league this season, and it's looking likely because two out of three results in the last game will give us that. I feel like this would be the perfect time for him to ride into the sunset, because I've seen previous players before in the past not make that move once they've won something, and then they leave the season after and they don't win anything, and it just doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel that, you know. Well, it would basically eclipse everything that Ibrahimovic did when he came back to us, which was set us on the right path, Champions League, and then obviously a Scudetto win, which would be massive. I just think it would be the best time to ride into the sunset and just be like that legend that we all know he is. But he'll still be a legend regardless, but I just think this would be the perfect, do you know what I mean? Perfect. And, you know, there'll be parades, there'll be multiple times that this summer, this next couple of weeks that he can celebrate with the fans. We saw him like bashing on the team bus before the game and broke the mirror.
Knocked that off his wages.
The window, sorry.
smashing the front window.
You see the driver, he's like,
I agree with
squirted,
you.
Squirted water on Maldini's windshield, and then he just stopped and started shouting at him. That's funny. Funny as well. There's some good videos out there. Yeah, go on, sorry.
No, you're fine. I would hate to see him stay longer than he should. You know, like you think about like when a boxer retires too late and they have this storied career, and then their last like six fights they're just getting knockout loss after loss after loss. It's like I don't want to see Zlatan get to that point where he's just, you know, a minimal fraction of his former self. Like if there's a chance to go out at the absolute top, which a Scudetto would be that, especially with the rest of the story, I don't see why you would want to try to continue one more year when you're already shaky as is for this year. You know, I don't think it does his legacy any good to stay one more year. I don't know if it necessarily would hurt it, but it just doesn't make sense to continue, especially when he supposedly has this offer as like the lead agent under Mino's company with his passing. Like, I think that is also an incredible role for him. You know, I think he has so many post-playing opportunities in front of him right now that it's silly to ignore any of those. No, obviously, who are we to tell someone when to hang it up when it's been their life's passion and dream and goal, yada, yada, all that stuff. But if you were to ask me, like, whatever you want, Zlatan, you know. But yeah, I say hang it up.
Yeah. Nobody wants to see a wounded beast carry on too long, do they? And it would be the perfect way to go out to win. And it would kind of close a cycle, you know, given that he won the Scudetto with the club in 2010-11, and he's come back and been one of the figureheads of the resurgence in the last 2.5 years, let's say. I was surprised that he didn't get on, but yeah, it got me thinking about his condition. Maybe his knee is just not allowing him. I mean, I know there was the Sky report saying that he can't play more than 10 minutes at the moment. He's training on his own all days of the week apart from the session before the game, so he can do the specific game stuff. That can't be the way to carry on. So there was already a Gazetta article today about how, you know, is it going to be enough for him to have a month of rest once the season's done to come back, or is he going to need surgery on it again to clean up his knee? in which case, is he going to want that at the age of 41? The answer's probably no. We'll see. But he's declined a call up for the Swedish national team, so maybe that's a little hint at what's to come. I don't know. But anyway.
Potential guest just said yes. But that happened last time too, and they aired me as soon as...
Brilliant. So yeah. Pelé is coming on.
Yes.
I don't know why Pelé. Right, so yeah, to the goal then. It's amazing how we'd sort of toiled for 55 minutes and then a simple ball over the top is what did it. You know, it was a bit of vision from Myers, there's no doubt. He picked up the ball in an area of the pitch where, you know, he's got most of the field to scan ahead of him. Liao makes an intelligent dart in from the left and sort of drags the man along with him, which was Coop Miners, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. And then that first headed touch, the one that takes it beyond him, and then the touch to steady himself, and then through the legs of Musso, it was amazing. Now, were we scared about it being called back for that foul?
No, I wasn't actually at all. Watching real time, I didn't think it was a foul. And the was it Rosato? I can't remember who was. Yeah, it was Rosato. He was right there. He saw it, and he immediately was like, "You're good." Yeah. So I didn't think there was any issue with that. I think he was close enough to watch it that if he said then live that it was fine, that even if Arati called him back, which I was thinking he would, I didn't think he was going to overturn his decision. I thought he was more than content with it. And I don't think, I mean, it was obviously in the buildup, but it was so early on in a very long passage of play on the exact opposite end of the pitch that I don't believe that that was, I don't think that ruined Atalanta's chances of recovering the ball or defending the goal. So I thought it was, I thought it was a moot point. I think it was more so reviewing for the sake of it's a goal and we have to review it. And because it was title challenge and because there's drama in Serie A, I think that's why there was a kind of an issue made out of it.
Yeah.
But I never really saw, and I don't know, Madison, what were you thinking? Like, no,
was this the Liao goal?
Yeah, the first one.
Honestly, yeah. I don't even remember the foul because I was so happy that Liao.
So I can't remember who takes it inwards. I know Kalulu sort of commits the foul, doesn't he?
Yeah, I thought he like kind of grabbed so-and-so's shoulder or shirt, you know, and just kind of pulled
it
out.
The side of the shirt, yeah. There was contact there. You could see the shirt pull, but then it's up to the referee to determine how much contact there's been. If it is genuinely enough to impede his right to the ball, or if he's bought the contact to try get a free kick in a dangerous position. Those are the kind of calls that they won't actually get overturned that often on VAR because the referee's seen the incident happen in real time and that's his decision. It's not like a handball where maybe the referee hasn't seen it through a crowd of bodies or whatever. He's judged that as he's seen it, and it becomes quite hard to say that it was being clear and obvious and will be overturned. I mean, you look at the Giroud one on Alexis Sanchez, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's like another one where it was a bit of, that was more incidental contact, let's say, but they're all saying that should have been turned over. No, the referee saw it, and he thought that it was absolutely fine, and it would have stayed regardless. But yeah, I think a lot of the drama that we've had with refereeing decisions so far this season definitely fed into my anxiety for the 20 seconds following.
I thought watching live, obviously on replay, it was an incredible challenge. But watching live, I thought Krunic actually fouled whomever had the ball for Teo's goal.
Jeremy Boga.
Jeremy Boga.
To me, it looked like he kind of hit some ankles instead of all ball. But then on the replay, it was, you know,
perfect. I thought that looked good live, personally.
But yeah.
Krunic was the one who was running up the field. Not
so did I, though. I think I even screamed, "Let's go, Krunic." And then I was like, wait a minute.
And I was like, what is going on?
How much were you drinking?
I'm not saying that we expect that from Teo because it is it's a goal of the season contender. It's mental. But could you imagine if that had have been Krunic?
I seriously thought it was. I was like, oh my God.
And I was like, wait, that was Teo? Of course it was Teo.
It was so funny, though. I mean, we had Bader with us as well. And the whole time he's screaming, pass the effing ball, pass. And then as soon as he shoots, he's like, let's go Teo. Everyone changed. Yeah. The whole story changed. It was hilarious.
It was a really, really good goal, actually.
Before we say about the tail goal, which obviously I think it is goal of the season sort of candidate, and something that, to be honest, I expect as soon as he started charging with that ball, I thought he's not going to finish his run without a shot. But we'll come on to that in a bit. But with the first goal, he was just so close to the referee was so close to the play, like what, 5 meters or something like that. If he's seen it there and he's not given it, I that's his decision. You know, being the rivals can scream about that. I kind of compare it to like the Benacer fouls that happened against the Atletico Madrid games, where it like it was one of the ones where the ref probably saw it and he thought, no, there's not enough there for me to call it back. And then the play continues and they score the goal from the Luis Diaz's goals. And I didn't really scream too much about those things when it happened. I thought that's the referee's decision. It can happen. It's
How
down
do you
to
remember
defend-
this stuff?
Got encyclopedia up here, Maddie. it's down to the ref's interpretation. Also, the defending side needs to make a, you know, there's plenty of time there for them to make the ground up. But obviously, this is where Leao comes into the equation. And I was watching the, I think it was like the Gary Neville podcast or something similar from the Tottenham game on the weekend. And he was talking about Heung-Min Son, the winger. And he's saying there's not many wingers these days that can, they can like beat you with pace when the ball's played to him, played through with the pace. But a winger that can actually, like, say if you've got 2 meters, the defender's got 2 meters backed up, and the winger can still beat him.
Yeah.
Players like Liao's in that category. And I think it is such an incredible asset to have that in that flash of a pan moment, he can just kill someone and burn someone with the pace. And we saw him do that against Hellas Verona when he beat the men there. We see him doing it again against Atalanta, and it's just incredible what we have here with someone who can just burn people for pace. And obviously we'll talk about pace shortly with Teo Hernandez.
It's like it to me, it looks unnatural. I can't remember seeing many players like this where they pick up a ball in a position and they can knock it 2 yards beyond the fullback and they're absolutely getting to that ball first, you know? And he glides past. I tweeted something out about this, but he glides past. It looks like he's not even at his top speed when he beats them. It's frightening, really. And I know fullback's a weak position in Serie A generally, and I'm surprised that more teams haven't tried to double team him. Some of the teams that have done so successfully. You know, he's had a patch where perhaps he wasn't the most influential in the game. But I think credit to Pioli and credit to him. You know, he's now drifting all over the final third as our leading man, finding space wherever it's there for him to exploit his biggest asset. And he generates his own pace. The ball was played to him and he was touched tight there on Coop Miners and he knocks it beyond him. You know, he's the one who takes that play forward. And when he takes the shot was at a point where Musso was kind of non-committal as well. So he even timed that perfectly. It was a brilliant goal. I'm just so happy it was him as well to score in front of the curver and to take in all the shower of praise
as well. And that was a really cool video. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Zoe obviously had their baby, in the clubhouse or whatever. The soundproof,
like the players lounge.
Lounge. The spot that's like more soundproof for an infant. And there's a video of her like coming out holding Teo Jr.
Oh, the Teo goal. Yeah.
That was... did we? Sorry, I was looking at my phone.
No, that's all right. I realized where that was going. But yeah, all right, we'll do the Teo goal now since, you know, we've got the what happened after.
I got distracted.
I mean, look, he took it from the corner of our box all the way into the half of the box while drifting over to the near the other side of the pitch. It's incredible. I'd love to see the run kind of mapped out, you know. But it was superb. Yeah, he had a lot of space to run into. Yeah, the first thing my dad said was, that's suspect defending, which is probably fair enough. There was quite a lot of, I think there was three Atalanta defenders on the edge of the box who could have each put a foot in and just decided to let him back inside onto his left foot.
But poor defending, but you still beat six players, including the keeper, to make that shot.
Like, whether they
that one in midfield.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that would have beat twice. I mean,
let's face it. If we're ever in a game situation, I mean, this ain't going to happen, is it? But you beat so many players and you get carried away and you've gone box to box. If you put your foot through a ball, it's going over the bar. Like the excitement gets to you. But for him 100%. To just stroke it into the far corner was
no look too. He didn't even
glorious.
Look. He just like all right.
I mean, I was so gassed. Yeah, at that point, my mum, who's a non-football fan, was in the room, and she was just, she just doesn't really, you know, she wouldn't understand what a good goal is versus a great goal versus a poor goal. But even she watched that and was like, bloody hell, he's run it the length of the pitch. And I think that that's the seal of approval that Teo wanted, you know? So gassed is the only word I can use. I was jumping up and down, man. And that's when I really thought, you could just sense everything had come together in that moment. Because at 1-0, it's still nervy. Zapata was starting to get a couple of half chances. We didn't mark him on a corner. He had that turn and shot that went over the bar. But that second goal going in, just party time then for the last 15 minutes. And that was a nice moment with Teo doing the baby celebration. I don't think he knew where she was because he was facing a bit off to the side.
Either.
But
yeah.
It's a great video. Yeah, it's on our Twitter if you haven't seen it already. You could see who he wanted to dedicate that one. Teo Jr. That was fantastic. And Bakayoko coming on, you know, you mentioned it earlier. I think he was told to come on and just not make a mistake. And then like his first touch was a slip. And then he got back up and the crowd were like, hey! As
if, like, how many times has that been the situation, though? Every time he gets on, it's so bad. Like,
that's been a while, though. Isn't it?
We can look back and laugh, because if that had led to something, if that had been like Gerrard's slip for Demba Ba, oh dear.
I appreciate what he did his first time with us, and I hope him all the best, but I hope him all the best elsewhere. You know, it's just not working out in Spell 2.
I love Bakayoko.
Yeah, same.
But
it just hasn't. Oh well.
He's the mold of player that I think will have a role somewhere. Definitely, it might be back at France with a Monaco or something like that. He actually had a good run of games and stayed relatively injury free for Napoli, which gave me hope that he was going to come in and do a good job, especially during AFCON when we knew that he was probably going to be a starter for us. And it just hadn't worked out. I don't think Pioli wanted him, to be honest. I think this was the management doing a bit of a sentimental re-signing. This is an opportunity. Yeah. It's going to be cheap. We can always return him.
I think that's what it was. It was get a body in there that we know is willing that maybe... My chair just fell apart. The little lumbar support thing.
Looks like you drank too much this weekend, pal.
Oh, yeah, it was coffee. By the way, please win mug. That's funny. The lumbar support just fell out of my chair. This thing. I don't know how that happened. But what were we talking about? Bakayoko. I think it was just available, and we needed another body. So that was it.
I think it's more like, this shows how valuable, and this is stupid to say, and I said it last week, but like Krunic, the likes of how he is, and I think we signed Bakayoko not intending that Krunic would be like, you know, be able to filling at like a defensive mid or more of a natural centre mid. And he has, you know, he started the season as a deeper centre mid, I think the first game with Tonali against Sampdoria, and he's been able to facilitate many positions now. And if there's anything, this is justification of how valuable it is to have someone who is adaptable like him. And the fact he's actually beating a natural defensive midfielder to his position, you know, it's justification that we need players like Krunic, and they're sort of unsung little heroes that they get a lot of abuse because they're sort of banterous, but at the same time, they have a point to prove, and we'll come onto tops and flops. But I think he had an efficient game, and I think, once again, he's keeping players like Diaz out of the side, and he should continue to because he deserves to. And I just think he's a player that we can rely upon going forward for at least some sort of squad depth.
Yeah, I wouldn't even mind if he renewed on a raise, to be honest with you.
His comment after the game was...
Oh, his interview was brilliant.
I'm always available for the team, whatever it takes. 1 minute, 30 or 95, I don't care. I just care about doing my best. The most important thing is to make our fans proud. Yeah. Great man, great mentality. Can't argue with that. Keep him around. He's useful in, you know, three, maybe four different positions. And yeah, he's always going to give 100% when called upon. And it's great to have players like that. You need them. You need them. That's how title winning teams are built. They've got to have those wild card type players. Tops and flops then, unless there's anything else to add on the game.
Nope.
My top... I'm going to go with Teo. I think some people might pick differently than that, but I'm going to give it to Teo for what is potentially the crowning moment of the season. Look on that goal and say, wow, that was an absolutely huge goal in the scheme of the season. Obviously, it was to make it 2-0. We'd already scored by that point. But just the way it all unfolded and the outpouring of emotion afterwards was just one of the most special memories that I can remember in the last few years, at least, of supporting this club. And also, he did an important job defensively in the first half as well, when things weren't necessarily going our way. Made sure that we soaked up any bits of pressure that we had, and he picked his moments going forward. So I think it was a good performance overall as well from him. And yeah, I'll give it to Teo.
I'm going to give it to Bakayoko. No, I'm just kidding. I think I'll go Liao on this one. Yeah, I mean, Teo had the incredible goal, but Liao's was pretty fantastic as well. And yeah, I mean, I want to give it to Mike just because this one gave him the Serie A Golden Glove, like guaranteed, no matter what happens against Sassuolo. But I mean, he really only had to save one shot. Like, so I guess you could say maybe it was the defense shutting him down. But I'm gonna say Liao. You know, the opener goal, the game winner, so to speak. Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
I was gonna say Liao, but since you did, I'll go Mike.
Okay. Since you've all gone for different, I'll go for Kalulu. Because, unlike what you said there, defense shutting them down. Clean sheet. I think we worried about the players on yellow cards going into the Sassuolo game. Kalulu, Tomori, Liao, and two other ones like Diaz and Romagnoli, who weren't even going to play anyway. But I was mostly worried about Kalulu just because of his inexperience and his age. And he did he took the test like a champ. You know, there were many moments where he once again used his speed to nullify whatever they had on the counterattack, whether it was Muriel, whether it was, Pasalic or Pessina or even Zapata. You know, he struggled with him in that header in the air. That's something he needs to work on. But you can't ask for more from a kid like him in this moment. And yeah, fantastic performance from him. But yeah, so I'll go for him. But obviously, I think the two favorites would be Teo and Rafa.
I think Kalou is also like half a foot shorter than Zapata. So losing that header, I mean, I can't be too mad at him for it, you know?
Yeah. It's just more positioning from crossing. I think we've seen, look, he's not perfect. I think that's where the weakness comes from, playing right back sometimes and playing centre back sometimes. So positionally, you're probably a bit skewed of where to, position yourself, a consistent basis. But he'll pick that up because he's just, the kid's class.
You know, he also has, I think, our best crosses, at least out of the starters.
Oh, yeah.
He's really good. I mean, he's a little shout out to Martino. He had a tweet from January 21 where he's like, Pierre Kalou is going to be a world-class talent. And everyone's like, okay, shut up, Billy. This is just a random kid we signed. And I mean, we haven't been conceding, so someone knows
ball. He's been fantastic. Him and Tomori, like, they're ideal modern defenders if you want to play a high line, you know? They're faster, athletic, and I think they are kind of complementary in a way that I didn't think that they could ever be.
Yeah.
But yeah, they seem to have got this great working relationship going. Yes, sometimes they're a bit erratic with their positioning and stuff, but when you have so much pace and power, you can recover, you know? And it gives us more options tactically as well, I think. I mean, there was points during that second half when Kalulu was almost moving around to more of a right-back role to try and then free up a spare man in the middle when Calabria tucked in. And it just gives us so much.
You even see Tomori running into the striker position a few times.
Yeah, that was mad. Yeah. I looked up, I was like, is that thick? And yeah, it was. So yeah, and then flop of the match. I mean, this is going to be a tough one because I don't think there was anybody who disgraced themselves, shall we say. But I'm going to have to go the obvious one on this. It just clicked for Giroud again. The hold-up play, it wasn't quite there. Look, he is struggling to get quality service. I'll concede that. You know, his strengths are attacking crosses. We tend to actually not do that much when we're on top in games. We're more low balls and cutbacks and stuff. And maybe that doesn't play into Giroud's strength so much, but we'd heard about how good he was at holding up the ball and getting involved, you know, maybe dropping in a bit. He seems to be struggling a bit. I don't know if it's, you know, he's 35, he's going to be 36 soon, and keeping up with the demands and rigours of teams that press and stuff, he's finding it hard. Yeah, it wasn't great. You know, he's leading our line. He's on a bit of a, not a goal drought, because obviously he has scored an important goal in that game against Lazio, but he needs to start scoring more consistently in games against opponents where we should be winning.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Giroud as well, and I do feel bad because I think he's been a very critical component of our team. I don't think anyone would argue against that. He's also been starting every game and playing almost the full 90 lately, so at his age like that, that is pretty physically exhausting. So I think he's trying to conserve as much energy as possible because he knows he has to play as much as possible. But because he's not getting that service, you'd think he would want to, you know, make sure he's providing that service to other players when he does get the ball in a bad area, because that seems to be the only time he does get the ball. And if he would just take a second, you know, settle the ball, look, make that pass, it could go better. But he's just, the second the ball gets near his feet, it's like he's already started the pass and he hasn't necessarily looked each time, and he's passing it to no man's land often. And it's just getting really frustrating to watch. And I know he's a lot better than his performances lately, so I think that's why I got to go. He's a flop.
Same. He just has – I feel like he is a bench player, and he does really good when he comes off the bench, because I feel like that's the position he's been in for a lot of his career, and we're just trying to utilize him way too much.
It's hard, isn't it? Like, I mean, we can't really expect him to be beating a man off the dribble or anything like that. You know, he's
– no.
His age, and he's helping out defend a lot as well. I mean, I think we can talk about Ibra's 8 goals, and I love Ibra as well, but he doesn't do what Giroud does when it comes to helping out defensively. And in modern football, you do need the number 9 to come back and contribute to help with the press or anything like that. There's a lot of factors in play there. But I will go for him being that, because I actually said I thought he'd score this game, but he didn't. And I can't really think of any other players that had necessarily bad games. Even Salamakers had points where he sort of probed the attack and once again did nothing when it came to coming close to the box. But once again, you expect that of him. I would say Salamakers at a close second, but I'll probably go with Giroud as well.
Yeah, and the thing, AJ is right about the he's premeditating passes when the ball's being fed into him. Playing a 1-2 with a player or playing a quick flick to a teammate is not a problem as long as you then do something after, you know. He tends to do that and then just stand there and wait and see what the next move is. If you play a 1-2 and then you peel off the shoulder of your centre-back, then you've got half a chance of stretching the defence. He just seems to do that and then that's it. You know, the play's over for him. He just jogs back to take up a position in the box or whatever. So, yeah, anyway, I don't think he'll be our starting number 9 next season. I'm not sure who will at this point, but perhaps has shown this last however many games that we can't expect to lean on him for him to start every game, for him to put in performances each week, score 20 goals or whatever you would need from a number 9. Sassuolo preview, then. This is it, boys. It's pretty massive, isn't it? You know, there was all kinds of speculation about when the game was going to be played. Would we be definitely playing at the same time as Inter? Thankfully, we are. So it's 6 o'clock Central European time on Sunday at the MAPAI Stadium. Of course, naturally, over 100,000 requests for tickets from Milan fans to be in the stadium. I think it's going to be like 3/4 hour fans. So it's going to be like a
within
home
5 minutes, according to the Sassuolo director. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I mean, it's mental. And look, this has the potential to be a fantastic day. You know, that's probably an understatement, but this has amazing potential. But we've still got 90 minutes separating us from the big prize. Obviously, Inter won against Cagliari. We know what the equation is. It's very simple. Avoid defeat, and we've won the league title for the first time in 11 years. Should we be worried about Sassuolo? Now, I know AJ is going to dive in and say, no, they're rubbish. They've been inconsistent all season and stuff like that. But they beat us earlier in the season. We know that they've got some good forwards for this league. You know, if they get the first goal or whatever, you know, are we going to be worried? Like, how do we approach this? Do we think the draw's enough and we don't commit? Or do we go for the win? You know, there's quite a few different ways you can look at it.
Yeah, let me just pull up the previous lineup, because that's indicative of why we had a bad performance. So, Maignan first came back from injury. A lot of people say he was rushed back, and I think it was very clear in that game. We had Romagnoli, who also got a red card. We had Kier, who, regardless of Ballon d'Or placement, never deserved to be up there to begin with. We had Bakayoko starting. We had Salamakers starting, which he actually has the highest rating, according to SofaScore, which is pretty crazy for that game. but he played. We had Brahim Diaz, who everyone on this podcast has slated every week. And we had Zlatan returning from injury as well. So, oh, and Florenzi. No one on that lineup is a real starter anymore. Bennacer is a good player, but let's be real, it's been Kessié Tonali all season. And then Liao, who is obviously our best player, but you know, everyone's loved to have one off day. And then most of the goals we conceded were honestly just mistakes, individual errors.
I was gonna say that game was marred by our individual errors. You know, the Romagnoli like face plant meme. Like that stands out, and even Kessié in the build up for that, you couldn't get the ball away. It was just like crazy. Yeah, you're right. I think you're bang on. Like, it's a lot of things have changed, not just our form and solidity and defensive solidity, and also personnel, people playing. There'll be there's a massive change there, and also I think motivation in this fixture as well is. I said it last week. I think if you can't come into games like this with that heart, what have they got to play for? What are they, honestly, 1.9 mil if they're going to get one more place up? Is that more than winning the league? Not a chance. I'm not saying exactly. I'm not discrediting the fact that this will be this won't be a hard game, but
I am 100%. I don't think it'll be a hard game.
I think it's going to be a hard game, but I also think that these guys are just going to roll over.
It's such a different mentality. Even if we had the exact same players that are going to start this Sunday in the previous fixture, it's still not even the same team. All these players are 10 times the men they were 6 months ago, except 5 months ago, 3 months ago. Sal Makers is not. Yeah,
he's been eating.
Pierre is like half the man at this point.
He's actually got 3 times the beard though. So there's
true. Maybe he's like 3 times the man.
Yeah.
One thing as well about last one is they had a big game in the last round of games. Their derby is against Bologna, and they beat them 3-1. Away from home, and they looked good. Don't get me wrong, I did watch that, and they looked really good in doing so. But that might have been their big finale, you know.
Yeah, that's it's Bologna. Who doesn't beat Bologna? Us.
Oh,
but
it's just to Bologna be fair, won that game, man. We'd have had it all sorted by now.
Yeah, they also lost... beaten everyone in the top six this season, so there is some credit to be due there.
They also lost 6-1 against Napoli like 3 weeks ago. So the defense is leaky. Like we know, we scored against 7 seconds in this same fixture last season. We know that we can get at them. We know that we can get in behind them. And look, we've got to play to our strengths. No two ways about it. I really think we should go for the win. Maybe that's an obvious statement, but there might be some people thinking, do you try and defend that result that you've got and you risk leaving space? I would be worried if we changed the way that we want to play. I wouldn't mind another first half like Sunday, you know, where we feel it out a little bit and then we realize,
there's been one game all season where we changed our approach, and that was the first game against Juve, and it was an awful game. It was our worst performance to date at that time, and we ended up with a draw. And I firmly believe we would have won that game had we have just approached it like it was any of the other games.
Nearly won that one as well. Like when we decided to change and think, oh yeah, we can win this, we had the chances in the last, you know.
Yeah, there's no reason to change it when there's literally one game left. If the plan has got us this far, do not fix what's not broken. Leave it as is. Go forward. And worst case scenario, they score on us, like whatever, okay. Then we're on a draw. Like we're going to get goals in this. There's no way we don't get a goal. So I'm not concerned at all. Not to, you know, bring in any superstition, but since I started wearing these goofy shirts and outfits, we've won every single game. And there was a very wise man who a few months back said, no team is winning 6 on the trot. Well, Stefano, we are 5 down. We got 1 to go, and I think we're winning 6 on the trot.
But a draw can do. A draw
can do, and I'll take it.
I would say that's the thing.
We can be in a position where we are goal down and know that we just need one goal. That's what we need. I'm not saying that's something you want to be in, but that is something that is, if we needed the win, and I think that's where like the perfect games come into mind. And like last season against Atalanta, we didn't need the win in the end, but we knew we needed a win to sort of secure things. That changes the whole aspect of the game. I think knowing that you can still get the draw allows us to play with like sort of somewhat freedom. Because we have 90 minutes to get any result that we need, the 2 out of 3 results we need to win this. One thing I will be worried about is that certain players in that team, that Sassuolo team, will be playing, I like to think they would be playing if they have any sort of integrity as a player for their futures in different clubs, whether it's Berardi, whether it's Raspadori, Scamacca, Traore, is it Fratesi in midfield? There are some players there who are wanted by some of the top four sides in Italy, and they might be looking at it going, well, if I do what I can to maybe ruin the party here for Milan, maybe Inter Milan or Juventus might come knocking for my services. That's the one thing I'll be worried about. But once again, we have players we're going to call upon off the bench. Do I see all those players there lasting 90 minutes? No. And let's see. Like, I think the personnel things will be key, having Kalulu and Tomori for this game to deal with Scamacca, to be able to press on someone like him, what Romagnoli couldn't, to be able to press on someone like Berardi, which Romagnoli couldn't. They're big to have in this game. And I think, once again, our defence will pull up trumps. I think we'll get another clean sheet, personally. I'm confident.
When we do go behind, we've proven we could come back, like Lazio.
Exactly.
That was a must-win game.
Yeah, and Verona.
And we went down.
Yeah.
And Verona. And
yeah, we have proven that. And also, if we were to go a goal behind, who's to say Sassuolo won't either protect the lead, which is something that I don't think they really know how to do, or go in search of a second goal, which then gives us more chance of finding them. So they'd then have a bit of a dilemma in how to approach it. An early goal would be lovely, wouldn't it? I also want to win because I want to win on points. I don't want to draw
Same.
And then into win, and then we've won on head-to-head. Although that would be kind of, if you go back
I'd
to the Shrewd
that.
Goal.
I'd
and
love
you think,
that, man.
But I would like to win outright by 2 points, so nobody can dispute about the system and how it's, you know.
Yeah. Worst case, best case scenario would be us losing and Inter going into stoppage time. Up one goal and then conceding a late equalizer, and then we win the league that way, would be the scariest heart attack of our lives, but it would be hilarious to just watch the
Inter tears. If they were the ones to bottle it somehow, that would be quite funny.
Damsgaard in the 90th minute.
Yeah, exactly.
Give him a contract, man. Let him write whatever numbers he wants on there. Swap him for Leao. All day. All day. I mean, we mentioned some names there. Their forward group is pretty damn good. I say pretty damn good. I mean, a lot of them have to be tested outside of the comfort zone that playing for Sassuolo is. They've been doing some interviews. Head coach Dionisi has been sort of saying he feels a bit hurt by the fact that they've already been written off, Sassuolo and Milan are celebrating the title. I don't think any of us are. I think we've still got another game. We've got another hurdle to get over. And then you've got Cannavale, who's the CEO of Sassuolo, doing the mind games kind of thing, saying that Pioli isn't overconfident about this and saying stuff about Berardi potentially joining us and stuff like that. Predictions. Let's do predictions. I'm going to say that we get it done 1-0. It's going to be a really cagey game, and then we're going to score, and it's going to be Ante Rebic off the bench who scores the goal in the last 10 minutes to seal that we've won the Scudetto.
I'm going to go 3-0. Liao's getting a goal. Brahim Diaz is coming off the bench to get one. And I think, Kalulu header from a corner.
I really want to keep a clean sheet, but at the beginning of the banter era, they beat us 4-3. So I would love to beat them 4-3 to win the first title since then.
Oh, man, I'd die. I'm not making the full 90 if we keep the 7 goals in this game. Oh. Yeah. Close the cycle.
2-0. Yeah, I think 2-0 is a pretty safe bet to Milan, obviously.
Thanks for clarifying.
Cheers for that. Milan 2-0. Well, I think Leao will score again. And who else will get a goal? I think Krunic will get a goal.
I would take that.
A free kick. It's more believable than Diaz off the bench. I don't think he's coming on. I don't
Me either.
Oh, block.
I just want to give him last chance.
I want to add one more thing about what I said about Giroud earlier. Since 2017, he has not started more than 13 games in a season. This season, he started 20. And over his entire career, he's averaged 65 minutes a game.
Those are fantastic stats.
Is that Maddie? So it seems like
I know. That's why I'm like, damn. Like,
yeah,
good reason.
Yeah,
yeah.
We sold ourselves short this summer a little bit by thinking Ipa's going to be okay. Yeah. We've got Pellegrini, we've got Giroud. You know, that really wasn't a safe way to go.
Does he get a Scudetto medal?
Yeah, he should. Massive contributions. Bakayoko's going to get one if we win. That's interesting.
Wow.
Daniel Maldini will get one.
Yeah.
Good. He scored a goal.
He scored a game winner.
One thing I will go on record as saying is that, and this makes no difference, I suppose, because they haven't faced us in this run, but Sassuolo have only failed to score in one of their last 12 games. So, whatever that means.
Make it two out of their last 13.
That would do. That would do.
You well to think about that, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, like... yeah. Cogs were wearing then. That's the thing. If we keep another clean sheet, which we've kept eight out of the last 10 games in the league, then we've won the league. If we stop them scoring, then we've won the league, like no matter what. So that's kind of good. It's in our hands totally. This is how we want it.
It's a good omen.
Look, I might skip talking points because I don't think anything's really happened. I'm going to be honest.
I mean, there's a big event looming for the weekend.
Go on.
The Scudetto.
Celebrations.
We've only been talking about it for the past 50 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's what I was thinking. It was kind of going to be rotating. Yeah. Well, what it sounds like is going to happen on Sunday is if we've won. Well, if Inter win, obviously, they'll be at home. They'll do things as normal. If we win, there'll be a bit of celebration on the pitch and stuff at San Siro. There's going to be two two trophies. Mm-hmm. There's going to be the president of like a Serie A at one ground and another. And then the players are then going to come back to San Siro. Inter are going to have to clear off. And then there's going to be another bit of a party. And then obviously fans will line the streets of Piazza Duomo to celebrate into the night. You know,
I'm so excited.
The Serie A president is going to be at our game. And then marketing director, is going to be at the other one, which to me says they think it's going to be us, you know?
It does, yeah.
Well, I mean, all
they've ripped the it. Odds they've are ripped in our favor. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know, if there's any league to just say, yeah, this is how it's going to go.
Yeah,
Syria.
Won't mind that.
But also, I was playing FIFA last night, and I was just like, man, I haven't seen any team I support win a trophy since 2011. It's been a long 10 years.
Man. Same with all of us, unless you guys are, double crossing us.
Nah.
Playoff.
You live in Washington D.C. Didn't the Capitals win it like last year?
Oh, you're talking all sport. Them. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
I don't
man. Watch hockey. The last Detroit team was the 2008 Red Wings.
Mm. Oh yeah,
I'm surprised there's any Detroit team with titles. To be honest with you,
the Red Wings are good.
Most you got the kitty cats on your T-shirt there. The Detroit cats. The Detroit House Cats.
The Detroit Lions.
Do we have some listener questions to talk about?
Yeah, let's move on. On the theme of that,
did we send out a questions tweet?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, thank God.
Get your comments in below and tell us how you'll celebrate if we win the Scudetto. Will you get incredibly drunk like we all probably plan on doing? We're thinking of heading to Milan Club London for the game, Steph, aren't we? So we hope it's going to be a really good atmosphere in there and we can have pints and we can have shots and we can just enjoy what's been a long time coming.
Steph, don't tear your other ACLs.
I'm going to jump on his back when Brahim scores. let us know how you are planning on celebrating if we do it. And if not, then it's going to be great material for Inter fans. So then, boys, questions. I'll just go down. Iova asks, I'm tired. Well, it's more of a statement, I suppose. I'm tired of hearing about it's a miracle if we win the Scudetto. Inter and Juve can only dream of having half-hour starters, and yet it still would be a miracle, apparently. I think Milan deserve to be in that position. Of all the top teams, we are the one that are least dependent on individual players. We're resilient. We play with calm and maturity. What is so miraculous?
I think you got to look. You can't look at it where we are now, because at this point, you look at it, everything that's happened during the season up to the final game day, we're the clear favorites for this final game day going into it. But statistically, using the, you know, the sporting power index and everything else, we have not been favorites up until they lost the Bologna game that we won the following week. I'll wait for the lorry to drive by, whatever that is.
Sounds like a speed racer, man.
Yeah. But there is a the very first week of the season before we started, we had like a 10% chance to win. So to overcome those 90% odds against us is fairly miraculous. And I don't want to sell us short, but how many people really predicted us to win the title? I mean, you could go on our website and look at who the staff predicted before the season kicked off, and I don't think anyone picked us, you know, so it is fairly miraculous.
I said we had a feeling. I had a feeling that this team could win the league, but it was like, I think that
not a single writer chose Milan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not right.
Even Mr. Believable himself didn't choose Milan.
Well,
it's true though. Into the season, the obvious signs there, weren't there? Inter had weakened. There's no two ways about that. Juventus lost Cristiano Ronaldo, their top scorer, and we were told that they were going to play so much better without him. And I think an opportunity has presented itself to us, and we've been nowhere near perfect. You know, we've dropped silly points this season. We've been tearing our hair out over various results. We got knocked out bottom of the Champions League group, albeit through some strange circumstances. We got beaten in a cup semi-final derby. You know, it's not been... It's not been all plain sailing as some are making out that it was going to be us favourites all the way. That was never the case, never. Our squad isn't as deep as Inter's, opinion. Yeah. In fact, even Napoli probably have a little bit more depth in key areas like midfield.
I would be shocked if we're even favourites going into next season, even if we do win it. It depends on the reinforcements and the changes of the other teams, but I don't think we'll be an overwhelming favorite, if a favorite at all, going into the season.
If you look at the markets, the summer market and the winter market, that we got Maignan in after getting rid of Donnarumma, and even though I prefer Maignan, can't get his name right today for some reason, that is still just, you know, improving a top class, you know, this stabilizing a top class quality position. It wasn't as if like we've gone from Salamakers to getting in, I don't know, Riyad Mahrez. You know, it was just class to another class. It's just ones we just took a liking to this one a bit more, and we just love his personality. And you look at the other areas in the pitch, you know, buying Tomori outright, buying Tonali outright, they were already there last season. What we couldn't project, and no one could project at the start of the season, was the development of players like Rafael Leao, Sandro Tonali, Pierre Kalulu. You know, these are the players who are the difference makers this season, and this wouldn't have been able to sort of get us there and above. And don't get me wrong, we're not clear favourites because you don't smoke teams out of the water, but we have heart. And I think that's what any other team, that's what they should be jealous about. The fact that they don't have the heart that this team has. There's something internally that just clicks, that on paper, this team doesn't look like it should be winning the league. When you compare it to Inter's team, Juventus' team, even to Napoli's team, you know, you see, it's telling people about Roma's team at the start of the season. You know, this team has heart that I think other rival fans should be jealous about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if an outsider looks at Serie A, looks at all the squad lists for the top teams, us, Inter, Juve, even Napoli to an extent, but really just those three, you look at the squad list and casual fans of other leagues are going to look at it and know 90% of Inter's list, 80% of Juve's list, 30% of ours. And that's just... You know, that's saying their players are better than ours, but
yeah,
I mean, Inter bring on world-class championship-winning talents off the bench every game. We bring on Bakayoko and Grunich and Brahim Diaz. So it's like we are overachieving substantially. And if this becomes our standard, then yes, going forward, we may become favorites later on, but not now.
They lost Lukaku, Christian Eriksen, Hakimi, and they brought in Dumfries, Dzeko, Correa, and Hakan Çalhanoğlu. I can't think of there's any other players to add to in addition to an ensemble of players with experience who won the league last season, who are developing as well in their prime. It wasn't as if like they completely fall off the rails. Yes, we did sort of overreact and think they'd be finished because Lukaku was gone and Conte has gone as well. I was probably someone like that as well. I jumped on the banter. But you saw that after October, that machine was still drilled in and they were still efficient. And to be honest, it wasn't until the Bologna game, as you said, AJ, And even so, Milan still had those last five games, which were extremely difficult. You know, Lazio, Fiorentina, Hellas Verona, Atalanta, and now Sassuolo, which not many fans would say, oh, but they're going to win 5 out of 5. And we're very close to that. So it's a relevant sort of perspective on how this team's doing right now and being title favourites, which only has come upon recently and seeing the development of the players that we have in front of us.
Yeah, very well said. Yeah. Put that on the dressing room wall if you can, because that was inspirational, mate. I'm going to do... mic drop. I'll do a little something. We got asked about by Football Kareem to go through the 10-11 team and this current team, player by player, and see who we prefer for each position. So, Maignan Villabriate.
Maignan, easy.
No. Yeah, I think that might be the easiest one on the list.
Although, I share a birthday with Abbiati, so... That's just horrible to say, Maignan, but it's night and day, Maignan.
Horrible to say it. I'm sure he's watching and he'll be gutted that you've betrayed the birthday crew. Maddie, are you going Maignan as well?
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah. So left back, Teo Hernandez or Antonini. Now, of course, there were different combinations of this team that were fielded, but this is going off the most used 11, I think. It's a tweet I've seen anyway. So it's Teo, I guess.
Yeah, it's
Teo. Antonini, solid, dependable.
He
pro.
Was solid, yeah.
Yeah, he was, but he wasn't explosive like Teo is. Teo's a match winner on his day.
I mean, this maybe a little bit of spoilers getting ahead of myself, but I think I'm damn near going to pick this current team for every position. I just think the game has changed so much between the two seasons that if prime 10-11 and prime 21-22 played each other, I'd be willing to bet we'd win this season.
Nah.
Obviously, we're taking the players as they were, so it's going to be like 2010-11 Ibra versus...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, 2010-11 Ibra kills his 11-year future self.
Yeah.
Actually, he's scored more goals in this current stint than he did in his previous one with us.
Thank you.
Seriously?
Yeah, he had. I just looked it up yesterday or the day before. I was like, what?
So this is for right back. Calabria via Abbiate.
Abbiate.
Oh, I like Abbiate a lot.
I just said I was going to pick this current squad. And I'm like, Abbiate.
Imagine the pace of the left and right back there. Calabria, fantastic. You know, he's become an emblem for everything that we're about as a project and stuff, wearing the armband in the last few weeks. But Abbiate is kind of similar in many ways. You know,
yeah,
I think he was always kind of undervalued.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tomori or Nesta? Yeah,
I'm going Tomori.
Maybe we should do
I'm going Nesta as well.
Tomori Kalulu versus Nesta Silva. Thiago Silva, obviously.
I'm going Tomori Kalulu.
Oh. Nesta Silva.
It's Thiago Silva and Nesta.
They came in clutch, man, that year. They had crucial goals. I can't remember. Nesta scored like 2 in one game as well.
Yeah, he got a brace against...
both Kalulu and Tomori scored game winners.
Was it like Lazio or something?
It began with L, yeah. I was thinking Lecce, but maybe
Lecce, yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't, man. They were just like... Nesta, even so, like... They, as a unit, they were just so...
How many more seasons did he play with us? Was that his final one? Did he go to Montreal after that?
No, that was penultimate one. He left the season after. But even so, what him and Thiago, they were just perfect. He was the pace, he was experience.
That was definitely one of the best partnerships ever.
Yeah. Was that the season when Nesta did that tackle on Messi as well? Remember the one that's like...
That might have been the season.
I think it was the one after.
And that was the one
even
after.
So,
but
that's
yeah,
like
still
crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a year older when he did that. You know, he was 30. Yeah. I think he was 36.
Yep. I'm still sticking with the current boys.
Yeah, fed. Kessie or Gattuso?
Gennaro.
Yeah, it's got to be Gattuso.
I'm having Gattuso there. Yeah,
this is hard.
I think there's a bit of nostalgia and a little bit nostalgia bias.
Well,
there.
Also, those players were just way better. I mean, like, this team is good because, like, they have chemistry, but, like, that team was also
if you phrased it as Gattuso versus Tonali, I'd struggle to answer that one. That one's
hard. Then we're getting a bit,
That's
but
like
I think they've done,
eight.
Like, a light kind of thing, so there's your muscle presence, and then we've got Tonali or Van Bommel.
Tonali,
I think. Van Bommel was really a crucial signing.
He was great.
You know?
He was great.
Yeah. His leadership and God, he was a classy footballer to watch. Sort of like a Xavi Alonso mold, yeah, but not quite as good.
He took Pirlo out of the team, didn't it? He took Pirlo out of the team. But then that was kind of Allegri.
That's really close.
He loved the sort of defensive midfielder aspect that he brought to it. But yeah, I'm going Tonali on this one as well.
We've got then Benacer or Seedorf.
It's got to be Seedorf. Obviously, it has to be.
Yeah. Clarence.
Yeah, for me, the best athletic midfielder of all time. Salamak, wait, is this right?
Don't even ask that one.
Salamakas or Boateng? No, because Boateng, Boateng was right.
No, don't you sit on
definitely
Prince.
KPB. He scored something.
Don't even think about that.
I'll tell you what.
No, he's taking the piss.
We're saying this season, the season that Malawi won the league, he didn't get that many goals, Boateng. The season of the hat-trick. Well, probably close. I think both
Should we put Pato in instead then? And which is it then?
I mean, Rubinho. I do think if there's any comparison that's really neck and neck for the worst of each squad, this is it.
Boateng was, you know, he was great, to be honest. As a sort of a cam, he did sort of didn't start the season in the team. He sort of had to work his way into it. And I think Allegri liked what he did. It sort of as a box to box.
I thought he actually did better towards the end of his Milan career than in that title winning season. I just don't think he was as pivotal then as he was, say, like 13-14.
The season after, I think that's when he scored those bangers, though, man. Yeah. Electric game. And The Barcelona one against Abidal. Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to pick Boateng. There's no way I'm picking Salamakers. But...
I can't back that. Sorry, yeah, Boateng.
His wife is also very pretty, I think.
Just very pretty.
That's another factor, yeah. And his dance at the end of the season, you know, the Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that's like
Michael Jackson one, yeah.
From one criminal to another, Robinho or Rafael Leao?
Yeah, I'm going Leao.
It's Leao.
Yeah,
Leao.
I think we might have to go with Leao on that one.
Leao's kept a clean sheet on his criminal record, so there's that. Next.
Giroud or Zlatan. So this season Giroud versus Zlatan back then, and that's it's Zlatan in 10. Now, Zlatan did have a better season the season after. I think, did he score 18 or was it 14 in the league in that first season? But we had quite a spread attack. We had a lot of players who were on or close to double figures, but he scored some clutch goals in the second half of the season.
I don't remember which one it was, but one of those two seasons, Zlatan broke 20 domestic goals. Because
that
I know
was the second
that.
Season.
Okay.
He got 20. Then... I think he got 28.
Yeah.
I think he ended in like 35 in all comps.
All comps. Yeah. Yes. All right.
Here's a stat for you.
Oh, here we go.
In 70 appearances, in 80 appearances, Salamakers has scored 4 goals. In.
You really have to dig him out.
85 appearances. Prince scored 11.
How many of them were right wing?
That's close.
I'm just looking at total here, pal.
Yeah, I figured. But yes, I think they are very, very similar, but Boateng's got to take that. Mm-hmm. And then current Zlatan, or I'm sorry, old Zlatan versus current Giroud is probably the easiest debate ever.
I mean, Zlatan then was unplayable. He really wasn't because he was fast and he was athletic.
This is probably going to be like what 4 out of the players out of this team is going to be getting the spots. So we've agreed on Mike, Tao, Tonali, and Leao. And I think that's right. But I will say, if we're going to compare one thing, I'll compare the coaches purely to Allegri.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting one.
That is a good one.
Yeah, that is an interesting one.
I'm going for the guy who's got my name, Stefano, all day.
I'm going for the guy that I share a birthday with, Allegri. No, I'm not. Share a birthday. I'm going with Pioli. Yeah, Pioli. I don't think I've ever. Well, no. Never mind.
I think take Pioli out of this team, you lose the heart. That's what I'm saying. That's what's so valuable about it.
Yeah.
Pioli definitely adds more value to this group than Allegri did to that group. But
yeah.
I think Pioli's next step is to win big games in Europe. Now, as fans, we always want more, don't we? And winning that Atletico Madrid game was like, wow, okay, that's Pioli's first ever Champions League win. Allegri has got a bit more credit in the bank in that regard, you know.
But he's never beat Atletico Madrid. In fact, he's been embarrassed by them multiple times.
yeah, fair point. But yeah, Pioli has got another step yet, and so did the club. Like, we've got to get out of the group stages of the Champions League. But yeah, bloody hell, there's dogs going mental outside my window.
Celebration started early, jeez.
I thought it was a common drunk guy in Camden High Street again.
I think he's been attacked or something. I'm not really sure, but anyway, it's stopped now. So we'll wrap it up there, boys. We've got plenty of questions. I'll save a couple of them for next week if we're not drunk enough to forget. Hopefully we are drunk. But yeah, we'll wrap it up here. I've been your host, at Ollie Fisher. A reminder to go on our Twitter profile, and you'll be able to find, if you search our at and main Yan, you'll find the giveaway that we're doing with Milan Club Dublin. You could enter the raffle for that. The deadline is around the Sassuolo game, so you'll see that. So, yeah, like, comment, subscribe, and all that stuff. AJ, thank you for joining.
Yep. I've been Mr. Reliable, as per, and happy to be here. See you guys next week.
Yeah.
Mr. Impatient, Maddie.
We're celebrating. Sorry, I have a job to do.
Yeah, Maddie doesn't talk the whole pod, and it's time to end. He's like, let's go.
I think I pulled out some pretty good stats this week. So
you did, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Pleasantly surprised with your stats you pulled out, considering you usually give me the praise for that. But yeah, it's been a pleasure once again. Just need to keep it solid for that last game, and it's so close once again. But let's speed up to Sunday and hope we get the result that we need.
Yeah, and we'll presuming we do go to Milan Club London, we'll try and get some videos out and stuff and of the atmosphere down there. Hopefully we're all celebrating. As I say, let us know how you're planning on celebrating, and let's not bottle it, please. That would be great. Thank you. And yeah, I think we'll have a bottle of champagne next week each to go through while we
Monday
talk
Monday morning
it.
Before I go to work.
Yeah, sounds good.
I actually took Monday off, so.
Fuck, I should do that too.
Yeah,
I might ask good. Isaac. Right, thank you for watching, everyone. If you made it this far, we'll catch you in a week's time. Hopefully you're keeping on top of the nerves and everything like that, but yeah.
Ecco l'anteante in area di rigore, anteante, Ibra, gol! Vediamo se è buono, ce l'ho da buono, ce l'ho da buono, ce l'ho da buono.